pulling my flying cars. I was just thinking about this, like Y2K.
Yeah.
Like how crazy that was.
Like, that was pretty crazy.
That was insane. People thought the world was going to like break down and nothing happened.
No, I remember Dad like had food stockpiled in the basement.
Yeah, like mustard and ketchup. I still remember pickles, just like random shit.
For your pickle sandwiches.
Stockpiled in the basement. And people like were super into that too.
People went bananas over it, yeah.
Like, oh my God, the computers are going to read zero. Bank accounts. Gonna be crazy.
Well, I mean,
I guess they didn't
nothing
know.
Really happened, right?
Nothing happened. No, it was false.
Everything went fine.
Yeah,
well, the whole thing was, what, computer programs weren't set to go to 2000?
Yes.
Okay. Something like that. I don't know, it was a long time ago.
It was so long ago. Just what? Crazy. I don't know, every once in a while, like, so where I work, I schedule people for like all Mondays. And I just feel like since I started working there in May, time has just, where did the time go?
That, and so it made you think of Y2K?
Yeah. It's just, I was just like linking back, like, holy shit, like, that was crazy time.
That Y2K was over 20 years ago?
Yeah.
It makes me feel old.
That doesn't really make me feel old.
Really?
Not really.
Like the 70s were 50 years ago?
Isn't that, that's nuts.
Roughly.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they were.
The 90s.
I know. That makes me feel old. I listen to old person music and it's like Nirvana.
And it's not even like, I don't even think that that's old. Well, because I'm that age.
Because you're that age. If you're Sienna's age, we're listening to like classic rock. And it's my just God. Rock that we listened to in high school.
And it's like, it's Primus. I still remember playing Mortal Kombat with you, listening to Primus.
I can't hear Primus without thinking about Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, you would be Scorpion and I would be Sonya Blade, and I would just be Sonya Blade, not because she had good skills, but just because
she was a girl
and at that time in my life I was like,
you have to play the girl character.
I have to play the girl character.
You were very into that. I didn't care.
Yeah, I think you picked Sonya Blade like once and I was like furious with you. And you did it just to be a bitch.
I was usually Scorpion or Sub-Zero. Those were my go-tos. Yeah. Are we recording?
Oh, okay.
I mean, we can still talk about Mortal Kombat and Primus, the pairing together.
The N64, yeah. The My Name is Mud or whatever that song is.
Yes. That song on repeat, playing Mortal
Kombat.
And
it really was on repeat. I don't know why. You'd have to, like, hit rewind and then...
I had that on a... that was a CD.
That was a compact disc?
Yeah.
Oh.
I wasn't
rewinding
wait,
it.
Wait. Pause the game.
Pause.
Rewind to listen to it again.
Yeah.
No, that was, yeah, that was, I had a CD player at that point.
Okay. Yeah, because we had like the big thing.
Actually,
downstairs.
I think my CD player somehow like plugged into the stereo that was downstairs.
Absolutely. Yeah, it did. We had like a little connector thing.
Are we recording? We just keep talking.
That's fine. I still remember driving that big gray truck and having like my Discman or whatever with a tape deck.
I
switch out my discs.
Did that for longer than I would like to admit because I...
You did.
Up until... No, I guess now I've had two cars that have CD players.
Because for a while there, you had some...
What?
Some interesting vehicles. Do you remember when we were going to go to the gym and the gym was closed and we ended up having to push your car down Midway Drive in a snowstorm?
Yeah, that was the old Honda Civ.
People yelled at us.
Yeah, get off the road. It's dangerous. Two chicks pushing a car in a snowstorm. Like, you can go fuck yourself.
And they were driving in a truck.
Yeah.
They were driving in a truck. They could have easily like towed us into the parking lot that we were trying to get to, but they were like, it's really dangerous. You shouldn't be doing that. And we were like,
so you want me to leave the car in the middle of the road during a snowstorm? Right. Like what?
Ugh, people are the worst.
You just reminded me of trauma.
Sorry.
I had forgotten about that, which is rare that I forget anything bad that happens to me.
Because you like to remember it and just like play it on repeat.
I like to play horrible things brain. On repeat. Yeah, I forgot about those horrible people that told us it was dangerous.
It was a man and a woman.
Yeah. Like, thanks for the help.
And they were driving like a big, big truck. I do remember that.
God.
Fucking cunts.
Chelsea.
No. You know, for quite some time, I never said that word because I was just like,
and
no.
And then you watch Game of Thrones gross. And now you're like.
And then I watch Game of Thrones and I watch a lot of like British television.
Where it doesn't, they don't care.
They don't care.
I don't care either. And I'm like, just like giving
so you
a hard
time about
it. So
if that offends you, I'm sorry. That I offended you. But
now think about that all night.
Now I'm going to think about that all night. Anyway,
we're doing a podcast.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to Nebraska in 1984, Children of the Corn. I have to say 1984 because there's newer
several.
Versions. Yeah.
It's actually Stephen King's biggest spinoff book.
I have a lot of comments.
About the whole thing?
Yeah.
About Stephen King?
Well, the ending, it could have been better.
Well, it was better in the book.
Oh, okay. So I'll run down the cast and then we'll go through it.
Okay.
So this is like an hour and a half. It's available on Tubi, Shudder, Hulu, Prime. Pick your poison, essentially, on where you want to watch this. The director is Fritz Kirsch. The writer is George Goldsmith, who did the screenplay, and it's based on Stephen King's short story. The actors that appeared in this, Peter Horton plays Bert. He played in The Babysitter's Club as Christy's dad. He was an asshole. As Christy's dad, yep.
Okay. Greg remembered him from 30-something.
Yes.
Okay.
He's also in Miracle on Ice, and he plays Jack O'Callaghan. I really like that movie. So,
okay.
Anyway, Linda Hamilton as Vicky, Terminator.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like we need to go into her filmography, Terminator. John Franklin as Isaac. He plays Tina Boyle in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then he's been in a lot of other stuff, too. But, Courtney Gaines as Malachi.
Isaac is also, that actor is also Cousinette.
Ooh, mm-hmm. That's a good one, yeah. Courtney Gaines as Malachi. He was in Sweet Home Alabama and Behind Emily Lines.
Behind Emily Lines?
Behind Enemy Lines. Sorry.
I don't remember him in Sweet Home Alabama.
He's a sheriff.
Like... Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I haven't seen that in a while, but I remember liking it a lot.
Anne Marie McEvery as Sarah. She's in Full House and Fuller House.
Who is she in Full House?
Katie Santoni. She's only in like 4 or 5 episodes.
Oh, okay. Just like one of
the original. Okay. Yeah. And I wanted to bring up Julie Maddalena, who plays Rachel. She plays in a shit ton of anime.
Well, yeah, voice. She's a voice
yeah,
actor.
Yeah, she's a voice actor. Mm-hmm.
I think I kind of looked that up, too. I just saw that. I didn't get into it because I watched this 2 days ago and then yesterday.
I watched it yesterday, so it's like still fresh.
Busy. It was filmed in Hornick, Iowa. The budget, this kind of made me mad. So they cut a lot of scenes and they didn't. The ending is totally different from the story, but okay. That happens. So they had to cut a lot of their budget because their budget was $1.3 million, and Stephen King got $500,000 of that, which left the budget $800,000.
Oh.
So there's certain scenes where, like fight scenes and stuff where more damage happens to the person, and or, you know,
okay,
gorier stuff or longer scenes. They actually, from the story, they combined Rachel. Like, there's Rachel and then another girl, and they kind of combined.
Okay, that I could see that actually.
One actress. So they had to do some budget cuts.
Have you read the story?
I have not.
Okay, that's strange because you've read a lot of Stephen King.
I know, and I haven't read this one. But they did do, and then Stephen King had drama with the production.
Ooh.
Because when he got, like, when he got the story written as like a screenplay, he didn't like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of got into it because it wasn't like scary enough, and they're like, well, we don't have the money,
right?
To, like,
yeah,
do the things. And the like creature in it was supposed to be like an actual creature, not
okay,
just like a graboid.
That's 100%. Yeah.
Okay. So it starts out with weird, creepy singing, which is pretty normal in 80s horror.
Yeah. Visions of a cornfield.
Yeah. Corn, singing. It's Gatlin, Nebraska, and it just says Gatlin, Nebraska 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There, do you know who narrates it?
No.
I didn't look it up either. You can go ahead.
I'll look it up right now.
But it's narrated by what sounds like a child. I don't know if it actually
is. I think it's Robbie Kiger, who plays Job.
Is it?
I think it is, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't write down anything that he's been in because he hasn't really been in a ton of stuff. But
okay,
he is. I think it's him narrating.
Yeah, so there's which is kind of creepy that it's like narrated
that
by
it's a
kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's one kid in church. His sister's homesick. Everyone else, all the other kids, are at their meeting with Isaac.
Which is so strange. Where are the parents?
I thought it was weird, too, that like none of the kids went to church. That they were all doing their own thing.
I remember having to be dragged to church.
Oh, me too. But I think they maybe do like a kid's Bible study.
Oh, yeah. And Isaac, like,
during the service,
leads it.
Yeah. I
something.
Don't know.
Yeah.
It's, well, even
I
that,
do remember being like taken away from like the adult sermon and taken away to like Bible study and stuff like during
Bible or like Sunday school was before.
Oh.
So you went to Sunday school and then you went to church.
Okay. Because now I know at Wesley Lutheran, they do like the kids service.
They do
like
something
during
different.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the kids. That makes sense. Why
yeah.
not? So they, the kid narrator, is that Job?
I'm
okay.
I'm going to say it is.
He goes to the diner with his dad and he gets a shake and it's kind of like a little after church thing. Yeah. Mom's home with her, with mm-hmm. Sarah. Well, the kids show up, older, like teens, and lock the door. And he's just kind of looking around like something's going on,
yeah,
but he doesn't
and
really
like,
know.
And like Isaac
what.
Is standing out in like his black garb and black.
So there's
hat.
A there was a kid that I went to Sunday school with, and I wish for the life of me I could remember his name, but he looked just like him.
That's creepy.
I want to say his name was like Matt or Mark or something. And he had like the straight across black bangs.
As you did back in like, I mean, that was a common
that
hairstyle.
That was a common hairstyle in the like 90s.
Yeah.
But he reminded me so much of him. So he's like in his like preacher clothes.
Essentially.
Preacher
yeah.
hat.
Old timey preacher clothes.
Peeking in the window and the coffee's poisoned.
Yeah.
And everybody starts dropping down dead. And then the ones that don't drop, the older kids kill.
Malachi.
Yes. Malachi is like crazy murder. Sarah, you find out too in this whole like intro opening scene, she drew a picture of the diner. So
mm-hmm.
you know that she has visions. And then it says, and a child should lead them. And then the intro is like the kids taking over the town.
Yeah. And like Job is just in there and sees all this happen, and like Malachi just like smiles at him and like walks away. It's like, what the fuck?
Like he sees his dad like fall down dead right in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, then, so that's the intro. Then it jumps to present day. And it's a guy and gal in a hotel room. It's his birthday?
It's his birthday or the end of his class work to be a doctor.
Yes.
It's one of those. I can't remember.
Well, she like gives him a cupcake and then she gives him a lighter.
Yes.
Like a nice fancy lighter.
I wrote down in my notes, I said, is this before the rise of Skynet?
I think it is.
I think it is, maybe. Because when did Terminator come out?
Terminator was probably mid-80s.
Okay.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Because Terminator 2 was like pretty big when I was T2. Young because of Eddie Furlong. Was like the hot thing. And I was probably like 12 or 13.
Yeah. I remember going...
Because I remember being friends with Tracy Heroy and, well, now Tracy Black. And she was guaranteed going to marry him.
Just like me with Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
100%. Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I remember we took highlighters and like wrote stuff all over the ceiling in my bedroom. And you could see it under the black light, but you couldn't see it.
Oh, yeah, because you had, like, the blue ceiling with, like, the stars. Yes. Like, the star stickers.
Well, we wrote all over it with yellow highlighter.
Remember that.
And hers were definitely, like, I love EF.
I love it so much. Anyway.
Yeah. I think it's before the rise of Skynet.
Okay.
So... he's supposed to be starting a new job.
Yeah, he's starting a new job in Seattle, and they're driving cross country, which is always a good idea in horror films.
Yeah.
As a couple, especially. And so, yeah, they're just taking the long way and driving to Seattle so he can start his internship or...
Starting something. Some big career change.
Yes.
Hang on 1 second. Keep talking.
Yeah. So, they... get done at the hotel room or whatever, and they're driving. What?
Okay. I had a drink. I have to comment. So he's still laying in bed, right?
Yeah.
She's in jammies or something. The housekeeping knocks on the door. And housekeeping knocks, and then they're like, oh, we're still in here, whatever. Well, then she goes, he's like, I'm going to take a shower. Okay. If people stay past
your house, checkout, you're a housekeeper, so you get very elevated about this.
If I was like, okay, 11 o'clock, checkout time, knocked on the door to be like, hey, when are you guys leaving? And they, you know, I walk away and then the guy says, I'm going to take a shower. That's another half hour, if not 45 minutes before they're out of there.
Right.
By the time he showers, I don't know, he looks clean shaven, so he probably had to shave. Takes forever. They deserve to be murdered.
They deserve everything that is going to be happening to them. Well, and that's true, because it would, like, throw everything off the rest of the day.
It throws off the whole day.
You're like, oh, I'm sorry, next people coming into this hotel room, you have to wait because the people before you. But the people that are coming in, they don't blame the people before them. They blame the housekeepers for not doing their job.
Oh, checkout's at 11. Why isn't my room done at noon? Well, because the people that were in there decided to not leave until 2:30.
Right.
I don't know what to do. Okay, that's my rant. That's my...
angry rant.
I just, time management, people.
Time management.
At least, like, tell the front desk, like,
hey,
I want a late checkout. Fine, then we can schedule around it.
All of you people making hotel reservations around Christmas time, the holidays, whatever, be sure late checkout.
It's rude. It's just rude. Okay. While they're in the, so they leave, they're in the car. Did you notice that there is a copy of Night Shift on the dash in the car?
I did.
I didn't notice that, but I read it.
Yeah. Night Shift is Stephen King.
Well, yeah. And this is a short, Children in the Corn is a short story in Night Shift.
Oh, that's, didn't know that, but I knew the other thing. Yay.
So then it goes to the town, Gatlin. And then there's a boy, and he tells two little ones to cover him while he runs away.
He looks, so the actor that plays Joseph looks remarkably like a young Paul Rudd.
He does. Did you notice that? Baby Paul Rudd.
Baby Paul Rudd. It's not, but it would have been funny.
Yes. So he's going to take off. Well, he has his little suitcase and he's running away. The couple, when they're in the car, they're trying to find something on the radio. Super preachy.
Yeah.
That, like, scares me.
The super preachy stuff?
Yeah.
Well, because we don't need to get horribly into this, but it's that, like, mob mentality where somebody's just riling everybody up and then everybody freaks out.
Yes.
It's like that type of thing.
And mm-hmm. that gives me anxiety.
Well, because it happens in a lot of horror films. Like, what was that one? The Mist, where the woman is the leader and she's, like,
yes.
getting everybody. Oh, my God.
Which is also Stephen King.
And you might have something, like, against organized religion.
Half the cast of Walking Dead in it, too.
That's true. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, they're good actors, you know?
Yeah.
So the boy's running through the cornfield. He gets stabbed by unknown. You don't see who does it.
I'm just assuming all of the murders happen by Malachi's hand.
Yes, Malachi is especially stabby. So the couple driving, they're kind of looking at a map, they're not paying attention, and they hit the boy.
Yeah.
Which is pretty graphic.
It's pretty graphic for a 1984 film. But I can't say that because Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like the first ones, are in the 80s. And
there's tons of gory stuff. Yeah. So I said the husband and wife, husband tells wife to wait in car.
They're not husband and wife. And Vicky brings that up a couple times that he lacks commitment.
What?
Yeah. So they're talking about, like, preaching in the car.
Okay.
And whatever. And Vicky is just like, you lack commitment. And then she, like, looks at Bert. It's like a thing. If you watch it again.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And she is super into him and he's stressed out about the internship or whatever. Like in the hotel room, it kind of comes up too.
Oh, I guess I didn't like read into it that much.
Yeah.
So he gets a blanket and it's something's weird. It's kind of like someone is it seems like someone's stalking the car. And then he starts talking about how, like, it takes 4 minutes for blood to.
I looked it up.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I did. So it takes 2 to 8 minutes for blood to start to coagulate. So he's not wrong.
Okay. So he realizes the boy was murdered.
Or, like, was
gonna die before they hit him. They wouldn't have been able to save him or whatever. Then she gets out of the car and sits by the boy and she has a nightmare about it. She falls asleep in the car. Now, her calmness is frustrating.
The calmness of both of them is frustrating because they drive around quite a long time with a dead boy in the car. Well, and have no, like.
So they hit him. He's out of the car. Well, then that's when she dreams that she gets out of the car, sits by the boy, and the boy wakes up from under the blanket. Which, that scene, she's actually scared because they told her it was a mannequin under the blanket, and it was the boy.
I love stuff like that. That's fun.
Yeah, so her reaction to him sitting up is, like, her real reaction. But how do you hit a kid in the street and then fall asleep in the car 2 minutes later? She just falls asleep?
I have no idea. And it's strange to me.
They put him in the trunk and they have his little suitcase and they're just, like, driving around.
I mean, look at how teenagers reacted to hitting a random dude.
Yes.
And I Know What You Did Last Summer.
And they completely flip shit. And I feel like as an adult hitting a kid, you'd be devastated.
Yeah.
A kid that had just gotten stabbed.
Yes.
like, you're not concerned.
No.
There's like no level of concern on their faces.
No. I mean, they do talk about the concern for a killer being out there and whatever.
And because she asked if it could have been done by like farm equipment or something.
Yeah.
Well, then they find his little bit. Bert finds his bag
yeah.
with blood on it. And he's like, ugh.
Not so much.
Not farm equipment. So, it's Job and Sarah, right?
Yeah.
I wrote two Biebs so many times because they're just like cute little kids.
They are super cute kids. Yes.
So the two Biebs.
The two Bibbis.
Forbidden to play in the old house, but they do it anyway. So they go back to their old house to like do things that they're not allowed to do.
Like play games and listen to music.
Play games, listen to music, well, draw.
And this is according to Malachi. I think Isaac like doesn't care too much. But Malachi is like no games.
Malachi's kind of the law.
He's the hammer.
He is. Like, I think he's kind of the leader, and then Isaac is like their spiritual leader.
Yeah, because Isaac, like Malachi is just like, well, they were playing games and all this stuff, and Isaac is just like, okay.
Who gives a fuck?
And
Problem number 500 from this. So all the parents are dead.
Yes.
There's no adults in town anymore.
Yeah.
So does that mean the kids that are like, I don't know, early teens are raising toddlers and babies?
Are having toddlers and babies or raising toddlers and babies?
Well, that's the thing too. It's
yeah.
been 3 years.
Yeah. Because I was wondering this too.
You don't see anyone under five, probably.
No, but you heard like a baby crying like during one of the like sermons. So I don't know if they just like added that in, or if
in the book, which I didn't read, they are like Bert at one point gets attacked by like pregnant teenage girls.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe they just didn't want to have to deal with that.
No, that would be uncomfortable.
Yes.
But I'm saying, like, in the initial, like, slaughter of all the adults who...
Was raising the, like, younger
was
ones?
Was raising the younger ones.
I imagine the older teenage, like, the older teens were probably...
I'd be like, no deal.
I don't want any of that. Peace out. I'm going to the next town over.
Yeah. So
I did wonder that, because like, how do they bring more community members in if like it's just the kids in this?
Also, so it's supposed to be Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
It gets fucking cold in Nebraska in the winter. How are they heating their houses?
And they're not,
where are they getting
and
their food?
None of them are allowed to like go back to their former houses. They all have to like, where are they living?
In like a school, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, you never really see
you
where
never
they're
really
living.
See.
They do their services, their church services in the cornfield.
And their sacrifices and stuff like
in the cornfield.
In the cornfield, but they
Who's
do
planting
do
the
church.
Corn?
How we need answers.
Maybe I should read it.
Maybe you
then...
should read it and then it might
I thought maybe because the like monster thing talking to them lives in the corn, maybe it's like magic corn, it just grows on its own.
That might be.
Because who's farming the fields?
Who's tilling the land? We never know. These are the things I need to know.
And I'm just supposed to sit there and watch it and not ask these questions?
I think you don't ask them when you're younger, but as an adult watching it, you're like,
You're like, yeah.
How are all of these adult things happening in that community?
And like, just, yeah. So when the local diner is supposed to get its like shipment of food,
who's paying for it?
Who's paying for it? Who's... Well, the diner, everything's shut down.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, if you're a delivery person and you deliver, like, a set amount of food once a week and they just show up and everyone's gone from the
town... Do they murder everybody, all of the adults that come in?
And...
I think they do.
What kind of community was it before that none of them lived outside of the community?
And they don't have family members outside
exactly.
of the community. It's the same thing with...
The crazies.
Yeah, like...
they burn down a whole town and like none of the family members are going to question it.
It's a little suspicious.
Yeah. When you're like a granny in Florida, like, oh, I haven't gotten my letter from Job.
Right. Yeah. What's happening?
So I figure that is like something just magic. I don't know. Yeah. I can't explain it.
Between the rows. Yeah. He who walks between the rows. Maybe he just like takes care of all that.
Behind the rows.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Somehow it has to be taken care of.
What a name. He didn't have like a shorter name.
No. Oh, Malachi and Isaac too in the book have like different names. They have like more normal everyday names. But then
I love the name Malachi.
I do too. When they made it into the screenplay, they changed them to like everybody got Bible names.
Oh, okay.
So that is when Malachi, when he catches the kid's plane, he sees the drawing of the car.
Yeah. So and then he knows.
So he knows that like something's coming up.
And if drawing is forbidden, why are they letting her draw so much? Because she's
probably
the seer?
Because she sees.
She's the seer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the whole community of kids banks on this like old timer mechanic to.
What a job.
They only keep him alive to send people away. And, you know, is he sending the mailman away? Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't go that way. Like, I don't get it. But he's got a cute dog, Sarge. He tries. So the couple stop and ask directions.
Yeah.
They need to find the nearest town because they have a freaking dead kid in their trunk. He tells him, or he tries to get them to like move along, but they don't really listen to him.
No.
Like, excuse me.
Would you listen to him?
Probably not.
Yeah.
No, I mean.
Crazy old man in a gas station that doesn't have gas.
Yeah.
Right.
And one town, Gatlin was like 4 miles away. And then there was another town that was like 19 miles away.
Yeah.
And he tells them, go to the town 19 miles away. So they're driving towards they start out driving towards that town.
Yeah.
And they keep seeing signs like Gatlin 2 miles away, Gatlin 1 mile away. And then they're like, fuck it, let's just go to that town instead. That is when, so the old man doesn't turn them away, unfortunately. And Sarge runs out into the field.
Poor Sarge.
Yeah. And then when the old man goes back to work on his car, he opens the hood of the car and there's a bloody bandana. His doggy's bandana.
I don't understand why they did that. Like, I understand why they did it, but
yeah,
it frustrates me.
It does frustrate me. Well, then the guy goes out into the corn. And he, I'm assuming, dies. Does he die? I can't remember what happens there.
He goes back to, like, the gas station and sees Malachi, and Malachi kills him. Like, a lot of these murders you don't, like, see actually happen. You see, like, a hand covered in blood.
Well, that was one of the scenes, too, that they cut because of, like, budget stuff. It's supposed to be the dog's head.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm content with
the bandana.
You know what happens. You don't have to see that.
Yeah. Ick.
Yes. While all this is going on, Isaac is leading a service in the field, in the cornfield, and he's talking about he who walks behind the rows, and that's like their god. And then when they talk about the blue man, the blue man was a police officer
that tried to stop them. Yeah.
So he was like on a cross in the field as bones, kind of. It's very creepy cult.
And then I was wondering, because I just watched a thing on YouTube, because I watch a lot of like the experts breakdown thing.
Do you?
I love those.
Like, for this, for films or
not for films, but for like cults, mental illness, crossbow scenes and things like that. Like they have like experts come on it, like Insider does crossbow. And then someone like some other entertainment thing does it. But I watched one on cult scenes and this was like a really good scene in it. And I watched this like months ago, but the guy broke down various cult scenes in cinema.
Okay.
And like rated them, like how good they are.
And now I kind of want to watch it too, because I just want to know what the other ones are.
Yeah.
There was something I was going to say about that, and now it's gone.
About cults?
Oh, I thought when you're talking about it, I thought you were watching like reviews of the films that we talk about.
No.
I did that one time and I...
Was it for Hush? Was it that one?
No. Well, that one was a little different because I wanted to hear about it from like a deaf person's perspective.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what film it was, but I remember listening to the review and then being like, oh, because I don't want anyone else's opinion in my brain when I'm talking about
it. Yeah. No, this one, it's just like expert animal biologist breaks down animal attacks in films, things like that. Like, it's super interesting. I'll send you a couple. But yeah, I just watched the one on cults, so this was appropriate.
Yeah, I will definitely have to check that out.
Yeah.
So Bert and Vicky get to Gatlin, and there's lookouts on the buildings. It's essentially a ghost town. They go into Hansen's Cafe, where the whole thing went down.
Yeah.
And it's filled with corn. There's like corn stalks.
There's like corn
everywhere.
Stalks all over the place, and vehicles and all sorts of stuff.
That was something I noticed too. Did the kids like move all the vehicles? Because there'd be cars parked on the street. It was like a Sunday morning that this went down.
Yeah.
And the whole diner was packed full of people.
Yeah.
Another thing.
Unless they parked at the church parking lot and just like walked down to the diner.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Well, then there'd be a whole church parking lot full of cars. And I didn't see a lot of cars in the film.
No.
And then, what? Did they like clean up the mess of all these people?
I think they, anytime anybody talks about like the adults, they're in the cornfield. So I think they move them all in the cornfield. But I don't know if they would have cleaned up the blood. Like, why? Why would you have done that? You're not utilizing the cafe for anything. So why would it matter?
And I feel like they would have went through town and like locked all the doors so that random people couldn't just walk into the diner.
Yeah. I don't know. They're kids, though. Like,
yeah.
What do they know? Well, they did just like murder an entire town. So,
well, the phone doesn't work, which I mean, of course it wouldn't, because no one has paid the phone bill in 3 years.
Right.
They see kids kind of like milling around the car. So they chase after them. Vicky wants to fucking leave.
Absolutely. Why would you stay there? Why would you want to find out what was going on? Obviously something horrible happened. It's none of your business. Like, you need to just leave. I would have left.
Yes.
Ugh.
And she at one point says, don't patronize me, because she wants to leave. Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That whole thing, I guess I've seen so much horror that if I went into a ghost town that just had a few kids running around in it, I would immediately get in the car and leave.
Yeah.
But, oh, maybe I wouldn't, because I really like abandoned houses.
But the curious cat in you would be like, yes. Let me look at these weird houses.
Well, then they are driving and they find a home, which they just walk into.
They just walk into with no thought of what might be behind the doors.
Why is this such a thing? I've never once heard of this in real
walked
life.
Walked into an abandoned house that was just open.
Where someone's car breaks down and they knock on a house door, and when no one answers, they just walk in.
And Vicky says this. Vicky was just like, you can't just like walk in. And Bert's like, I just need to use the phone.
But it happens so much in scary movies.
Yeah.
I'm just going to walk into this house. No, don't do that. Something bad always happens. They walk in and then Yeah, don't walk into other people's houses. They find, I think it's an old TV guide. It's like the shape of a TV yeah. guide, and she says it's 3 years old. That phone line I thought was funny because it's just like the cord was cut. Like, I thought that was kind of strange.
Some hinky shit happened in this town. I don't know why they stayed.
Well, because they're dumb. So then there's drawings all over.
Of murder.
Crayon drawings of murder hanging up all over the walls. And she's looking at them and doesn't find a problem with that.
I did write down, they seem pretty casual for a couple with a body in the trunk.
The whole time. They put the body in the trunk, and before they even put the body in the trunk, she falls asleep.
Right.
Like, oh my God, this is such a boring car ride when there's like a dead 10-year-old. Like,
right.
I'm sorry. I'm going to dwell on that.
I know.
Like,
that's okay.
If I hit a raccoon in the road, I'm crying about it for 10 miles.
Yeah.
They hit a kid and she takes a nap.
I hit a chipmunk once out at mom's and cried.
See? I mean.
I don't want to think about it. Little chippy, just doing chippy things.
Well, they find Sarah and tells them that the adults are in the corn.
This entire conversation with Sarah would have made me leave.
Yes.
Well, Malachi did it, or
Isaac put them there, the leader. Isaac, the leader, put all the adults in the field.
Ugh. And they just think that it's just like some kid like making jokes and stuff. Where are your parents? Obviously, the house is disheveled. There are no parents. There are no adults.
Another thing, too,
just frustrates me
is that he's going to be like a doctor, right?
Yeah.
And at this scene, too, so Vicky is talking to Sarah and having this conversation. Well, he gets impatient trying to talk to the kids after 1 second.
Maybe he's not going to be a pediatric doctor.
Still.
But still,
you have some kind of people skills. You can't just be like, oh, this child is taking forever. So then he goes downtown.
I would have never split up.
No.
Never, ever split up.
No. Nope.
Looking at my notes, though, I do want to comment on the angle of the door of this house. So the top house is like a standard right angle house. Then the bottom floor, the door is just like, I drew a little picture.
Show me your illustration.
The door is like that. Like, it's on its own angle.
I think that's kind of cool, though.
It is cool.
The house is still there,
but I thought it was weird. Yeah, I watch the Grimm Crime Collective or whatever, like this couple that goes through like horror filming locations and stuff, and they went there.
Ben and Lindsay's house is like that.
Really?
It's not like exactly like yeah. that, but they have a small front porch.
Okay.
And it comes off of an angled door like that, I think.
Okay.
If I'm like,
I've never seen that before, so I was just like, oh.
Oh, now I'm going to have to like Google it, and I'll send you a picture once a week of a
yeah, for real. Odd like angle weird door. Angles.
It's neat. Yeah, the house is cool. Well, so she just stays there with the kids.
I don't understand.
Yeah. I thought then the kids all surround the house, the bad kids. But I just thought it was really weird that he would leave Vicky with Sarah.
In a situation like this.
In a situation. But he wants...
Mike. Yeah. Would you leave me? Yeah. He's lying. I
got shit to do. What do you have to do?
Survive.
Well, you could take Chelsea, who didn't want to be there in the first place.
He'd be the one in a zombie apocalypse to shoot me in the leg so he could live. Hi? He would chain me.
Oh, no.
He wouldn't really. He loves me. I mean, maybe.
You just don't sound very confident. I always worry. Okay, now we're.
Yeah, that's fine.
Zombie apocalypse. I always worry that Greg would go, like, way quick because he works at the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, he could be, like. Oh, yeah. He could be, like, dispatched to a house where, like, somebody got bit. And, like, as it's starting.
Do you think he wouldn't be able to survive that? Like, do you think with his knowledge of zombie films and other illnesses and things like that, that, like, he wouldn't be able to...
Well, okay, think of it like this.
This is a zombie movie conversation.
Somebody gets bit and they fall ill with fever and all that.
Cough, whatever.
So then they call an ambulance. He goes in the ambulance, loads the dying person into the back.
Maybe he would be the person in the back with them.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, like, yeah. What if he just by chance was working that day? It'd be like that scene that you hate in Dawn of the Dead.
It's the worst. It's the worst scene. Oh, my.
I just wanted to remind you.
God. The paramedic scene in the back of the ambulance, and you see this woman getting attacked by, oh, God. It's the worst. Anyway,
for some stupid ass reason, they split up.
Yeah.
The kids are surrounded at the house. Sarah finishes up her drawing. And then the kids, it's the drawing that she did is Vicky being sacrificed in the field.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the kids come and take her.
Do you think Sarah Connor would be able to kick the shit out of the kids?
Fuck yes.
Okay. I mean, I know different characters, but I was thinking about that when I saw them just like take her. And I was like, Sarah Connor, not put up with
that. No, she would have whipped all their asses for sure.
Anyway. It's just random.
Yeah, so...
They take her while her husband's gallivanting around Gatlin.
Yeah. Stupid. He goes and finds...
Her boyfriend, whatever.
He goes back there, finds Sarah. He sees the drawing and runs out. Well, when he runs out, the corn, like, divides so that he can, like, cut through the field.
Yeah.
Which...
Magic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the corn monster, but... Mm-hmm. He hears a bell and then, like, runs to it. And Vicky is, like, being raised on a cross. And she's directly across from, like, the
blue man.
The blue man.
Mm-hmm.
Then, so church is going on at this point. They're like, crazy church service.
Yeah.
And Amos.
Mm-hmm. Like, famous Amos.
They're, like, sharing his blood because he's 19 years old. So they, like, cut him, and then they fill up a bowl full of blood, and then all the kids in the church are drinking it.
That actor is in The Return of the Living Dead, by the way. The guy that plays Amos.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have, like, a huge
part, he doesn't, so. But I thought that was interesting, a little side thing.
So then he's, like, all pumped to be sacrificed.
Cults, man.
I know.
I was wondering how long it would take, like, after this all dispersed, how long it would take to rewire the kids.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Because they're, like, super brainwashed.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he's like, oh, it's my 19th birthday, like, ready to go.
I'm going to be with him, like...
Yeah, I wouldn't want that.
No.
So Bert gets stabbed when he's, like, running from the church kids.
Yeah.
But he's, like, not stabbed bad enough where he can't, like, run away.
I did like when he was stabbed, though, and, like, running through the town. He wasn't, like, running good. He was running kind of off because he was stabbed in the shoulder.
Like he'd just been stabbed.
Yeah. That made me happy.
And it also wasn't so dramatic. Like, his legs are still working.
Yes.
He's not, like, falling over in pain.
Yeah.
They have... So when he's running through town, Malachi is after him yelling, Outlander.
Outlander!
And that's in a South Park episode, too.
Is it? Yeah. That's funny.
Where they're, like, chasing after somebody. But he
runs into Job. Well,
he runs into Job. Well, Job hides him.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny that he hides him in essentially like a Cold War bunker.
Yes.
Like
underneath a house It has like the traditional like basement opening from the outside, like the two doors or whatever. And then he goes down there. And would you go with a kid? I mean, I don't know.
I would.
I probably would too.
I was stabbed running for my life and this kid was like, hide over here.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a little kid, and if the kid just wanted to rat you out, they would have just yelled, hey, the guy's right here.
Yeah, like in Ready or Not.
Like in Ready or Not.
Right here.
So, well, when he went out, so then, okay, Malachi takes Vicky.
Yeah, at this point, Bert is in the fallout shelter with Job and Sarah, and Sarah's like bandaging him up and stuff, and they're talking about like what happened.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, Malachi takes Vicky then and leads her through town and is like, I have your woman.
I have your woman. But they can't hear him. Like they're in the basement.
No, they're hiding. So he doesn't hear him. Well, then the sacrifice kid is like ready to go. And Malachi at that point tells Isaac Malachi tells him that Isaac will keep him company.
This is the uprising.
This is the big like uprising in it. What's funny about this too is I feel like we're getting through this one like fairly quick. And
yeah.
I think it's because the last one that we did, Ready or Not,
yeah,
was like so action packed and there's a bunch of twists and turns.
Yeah.
Where this is kind of
this
like,
is pretty straightforward and you kind of like know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
For the most part. But yeah, at this point, Malachi is like, no, we're not putting up with you anymore. And Isaac is like, what? Like, get this guy. Like, kill Malachi, strike him down. And no one's doing it.
No one's doing anything.
Personally, I would much rather be under Isaac than Malachi. Malachi sounds like a dick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isaac is just like preachy religious.
Yeah.
But Malachi
wants blood and sacrifice.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Isaac, like, doesn't he who walks behind the rose, he talks to Isaac.
Yeah. Isaac is the voice of.
Yeah. Now I just completely lost my.
So they like string up Isaac. They decide they're not sacrificing Vicky. Vicky is not of their concern anymore. They're like, whatevs. And they take Isaac and they put him up on the corn cross.
Well, they talk about, so the boy that's sacrificing himself, he walks out in the corn, and then that's when you see, I called it the weird tremors mound of dirt.
Yeah.
Which, did you read about how they did that?
No.
So they put, they took a wheelbarrow and they flipped it over, like the dome part of it,
mm-hmm.
and then they put wheels on it, and then the wheels were on a track, and then they covered the track with tarps and
dirt. Okay.
So when they pulled, they called it a turtle, then they hooked it up to like a tractor. So when they pulled it, it made that like wake
okay.
of dirt.
That's cool.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I also read that the local Boy Scouts helped dig the trench for that.
Can you imagine?
As part of like learning about how film works and special effects.
Here's your Children of the Corn patch, kids. Here's your Corn God patch.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And then it kind of has like a weird like radiation glow to it.
This was where the film lost its interest for me.
Really? The end?
I was really hoping that it wouldn't be anything supernatural and it was just a bunch of crazy kids. And I've thought this, like when I was younger, I loved this movie.
Yeah.
And I still do. Like I still think it's a good movie and stuff. But I was telling Mike earlier, I like this movie for the reason I didn't like Fright Night. And it's because I didn't like Fright Night.
You're emotionally attached to it.
I think if I had just watched this for the first time, I'd be like, it's okay. Like,
yeah,
Stephen King 80s movie, like typical.
Yeah, I get that.
I wish it just would have been a cult with no actual supernatural stuff.
My issue with Stephen King
and we have talked about this, is not on podcast.
He tends to wrap up the end with, oh, it's aliens.
Like, it's a corn god. Yes.
Can't explain it. So it's like it.
Yep.
Kind of ends like that. Tommyknockers.
Yeah, Tommyknockers for sure.
What's the Dreamcatcher?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's going to be like Native American. It's going to be like some weird spirit. Aliens. Like
aliens.
I don't know. It's how always to end this,
aliens.
So I'm going to throw aliens at it. So that was, yeah, that was a little strange. And then that's, what?
We have a FedEx thing that I think Mike might have to go outside for.
Oh, do you have to like sign for it? He'll just leave it on the porch.
It's a big thing.
Oh, what'd you order?
A thing
for
Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but anyway.
Anyway, okay. Well, Bert shows up and fights Isaac. Well, first he shows up and talks about, like...
No, he fights Malachi.
Oh, yeah, Malachi,
Isaac
sorry.
Is...
Yes. Did Isaac already get taken into the...
I think he already got taken.
He got taken.
He gets absorbed by red glow or whatever it is.
Yes, the weird radiation takes Isaac. So Bert shows up and he talks about like God and love.
And he says too, he says any religion without love or compassion is a lie.
And Malachi does not want to hear that.
No, of course not. But I'm like, look at this guy just coming into this cult, chastising all of them for being bad kids after they murdered a ton of people.
And they get in a fight, but Bert could win and he walks away.
Yeah, he goes and you think he stabs Malachi, but he throws the knife like next to you.
Yes. Well, that is when Isaac shows up as a zombie. He says he wants you to, Malachi. Now, Isaac, this was another scene that was cut short. Isaac was supposed to be way gorier looking.
Yeah.
He's supposed to have like exposed bones.
Ew.
Did they leave the package?
It was like a couple packages because it's pretty big.
Oh, okay.
I'm just watching him, but yeah.
I didn't know if he was going to like take it and then leave a thing where you had to go pick it up somewhere.
No.
Okay. So then it's kind of weird. Like all of a sudden this weird like storm pops
it's
up.
It's just strange to me.
Yeah. Bert and Vicky and the two kids.
And the kids, like the rest of the kids, follow them into the barn.
Oh.
Yeah. They're like lost boys.
Yeah. So they hide in the barn from the storm. And then that's when you find out that at one point the blue man was trying to burn the fields.
Yes.
So then,
and they're trying to like get it out of Job and Sarah, like how they did it and stuff.
Vicky ruins Job's vest.
Yeah, why? Was that necessary? Like Bert's trying to make a Molotov cocktail, and is just like, oh, I need like thick cloth. And so Vicky looks at Job's vest, which is probably the only damn clothes he has, and just like rips the vest in half. And Job's like, hey.
And he's still wearing
it. He's still wearing it. Poor kid. Rip your own clothes, Vicky.
I thought that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Or like one of the girls with like a long skirt, they couldn't have just like ripped the bottom of the skirt off.
As they do in like every other movie.
Yeah. So then he says, I love you, Vicky, Bert, and then is beaten and smothered by corn.
That part cracked me up. It cracked me up. I was like, oh, my gosh.
He was being whipped by the corn?
Yes.
I mean, it was very scary when I was young.
Yes. That's why, I mean, the fear of cornfields. I had a very big fear of cornfields when I was little.
I remember that story where if at midnight you walk into a cornfield with a group of 10 people, only 9 will come out.
What was this? No. I mean, maybe I did, but I don't remember it.
But then I also remember me and Amanda and John and Dan all like playing in the cornfields, like playing hide and seek.
When you were little? Yeah.
Well, not when we were little. We were in high school.
Like adults?
I mean, we were not adults yet, but
yeah,
we were probably too grown to be running around in the cornfields.
Playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Farming communities, man.
So Job saves him. They connect the gas to the irrigation system. Well, then a big monster cloud is coming after them.
Just monster cloud.
Yeah. Well, they throw the bottle with gasoline in it or whatever to start the fire from outside of the field.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
No.
Job runs in and grabs it and comes back out. And I thought for sure, I guess the first time I saw it, I knew that what was going to happen. But I thought for sure the corn was going to get him. He runs in, grabs the bottle, and yelling, "Throw it right this time."
That's a kid talking.
Oh, for sure.
100%.
Yeah, throw it right. Like, quit.
Do it right this time.
Quit fucking up. So then, the field catches on fire.
The end.
There's a weird, like, fireball. I'm assuming that's, like...
It was, like, a demon face.
Yeah.
There's a demon face in. And so then they walk back to the car, and the car is destroyed.
Yeah.
And Bert goes into the car and is, like, looking around for a map. And Rachel is behind the seat.
Which is so random.
So random. She says something like... She doesn't say usurper, but she says something weird, and she goes to kill Bert, and Bert just like throws her on the seat, and then she goes to like get out, and Sarah and Vicky smashes the door in her face,
which is, so I guess it is kind of like an end of the film jump scare thing.
And Bert was just like, well, we need to do something, and Vicky is like, we can send her a get well card from Seattle. Let's go. And then they just like take Sarah and Job. They just take them.
Yeah.
This happens. Okay.
Oh, they get the map and their plan is to walk the 19 miles to the other town.
Yeah. Which would take forever. It would take a long time.
To walk 19 miles?
Yeah.
Not really. If you figure you're walking between 3 to 4 miles an hour.
They have two young kids, though.
Carry them.
That's true.
Find a wagon.
So my problem with films like this is the children need birth certificates. They need identification. You can't just like take kids and say that they're yours
we
now.
We found them. It's not like 1850. Well, I guess it's been later than that people have sold their kids, like during the Depression.
Yeah.
People gave
mailing their children to grandparents.
Well, no, just like, I have 5 kids and I can't afford them, so I'm gonna sell 3 of them. That was the thing.
I know, but it's still shocking to hear it.
Yeah, and they don't have, I mean, this is the 80s, and they have no social security cards or birth certificates or any.
How are they gonna get into school? How are they going? Are they just gonna be homeschooled forever? Like,
what's Vicky do for a living?
I don't know. It never really goes into that.
She can homeschool. They don't seem like a couple that's going to stay together. So I would assume that Vicky would take the kids since he has no patience.
He has no patience for children.
The ending in the story, I can't remember what happens to Bert.
She dies.
She
right?
dies. Yeah, they put her up on the cross and they gouge her eyes out and she gets sacrificed.
Ew.
Yep. And I think Bert might get killed like right away. He might get killed like as soon as they get into town.
So the kids just continue to sacrifice things.
I don't know, but now I will probably.
Now I want to read it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I might even have that. Because, I mean, Greg has a ton of books that I haven't read them all.
That's true. We have like boxes of books in the basement. We really like downsized our book collection. So we only have like the white thing up there. And I think only like 4 cubes are filled with books.
You didn't actually downsize if you just put them in the basement.
No. So I actually did. So when we moved from Elm Street, we had boxes of books, but we also had like 2 or 3 big bookshelves filled with books. And I've like
condensed
the ones that are out.
Condense them pretty regularly. Like I have all of the Sookie Stackhouse books.
Yeah.
And I don't have them on a shelf downstairs. I just have them up in the guest room or in my craft room.
I've gotten to the point where I just like read a book and I get rid of it unless I really like it, and then I'll keep it. But
yeah, I want you to read. I know that you probably don't have a ton of time to read right now, but I want you to read The Mephisto Waltz.
Yes.
I was telling you about that film.
Yes.
And the book is amazing. And my copy is like falling apart because I bought it used and then I like read the crap out of it too. But it's like the original cover, I think.
Yeah.
The cover's all like creepy and old. Okay.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. I have a lot of books to read. I'm reading reading through Outlander.
Outlander.
So I'm like trying to get through, and it's not Outlander. It's Outlander. Outlander.
So would you recommend it?
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
Yeah, just
I think so. Well, if you're a Stephen King fan, you've seen this. I don't know many people that are Stephen King fans that haven't seen this movie.
You are just making things up.
I'm making assumptions. This is what I do. You pointing them out isn't going to make me change my ways.
It will not, but it's still funny. I don't know any Stephen King fan that hasn't seen, and then you throw something out there.
But it could be true. Like, I haven't seen, or I don't know Stephen King fans that I haven't seen.
What was the last sentence that
fuck off. Anyway.
I don't know.
So... Yeah, I mean, I'd recommend it if you're an 80s horror fan or like an older horror
fan.
Well,
see, here's the thing. We liked it because we saw it when we were young. And then we kind of like poo-pooed Fright Night.
It's the same thing.
Somebody actually messaged me and they're like, that movie scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. I'm a fan.
Okay, so watch it now and tell me if it scared the shit out of you. Like, that's kind of...
Well, it's nostalgia.
But it is the same thing. It's nostalgia. And again, I think if we would have seen Fright Night when we were younger, like, we would have a little place in our heart for that film.
Yeah. So it's right up there with Fright Night.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if I would recommend it. I don't know if I'd recommend Children of the Corn just because Greg's tried to watch it twice and fallen asleep both times.
Yeah, that's true.
And it is. I mean, we sit down at night to watch him.
Yeah.
So he's already tired, but it's still like, it's not like edge of your seat. What happens next?
Now that we have talked about Fright Night and this one.
Are you changing your mind?
I think my mindset is evolving.
How about I would recommend it to people that have read the book?
Yes.
But I do that anyway. If you read the book, you should probably see the movie. Yeah. If you see the movie, you should read the book.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think we decided anything on that.
We didn't really decide anything on that, but that's fine. So if you like what you hear and want to listen to more of this hot ramblings of Aaron and Chelsea.
I just started my drink.
Follow us on Instagram. It's /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. And then we do have a Facebook page, /your movie review. And we have a website, /yourmoviereview.com, that we try to keep up to date. But who knows? With the holidays coming around, it might be next week. It might be a month from now.
It's all willy-nilly. Yeah, the holidays are always crazy.
Willy-nilly. But we hope everybody has a great week. It's the beginning of December. Chilly month for those people in the Northern Hemisphere. All right. Anyway, have a great week, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.